I'll be home for Christmas. You can plan on me. Please have snow and mistletoe.
Well, welcome to Integral Life's teleseminar, Love, Not War, Going Home for the Holidays. I'm David Reardon, and I'm going to be your host as we dive into this very timely topic of family dysfunction during this time of year that we all joke about, but we also feel very seriously about as well. And if you think you're alone in your curiosity about this subject, you're not. Over 950 of you have joined us tonight, so thanks for that. The first thing I would like the audience to do is, just for a moment, check in with yourself. As you listen tonight to Wee's story and to Susan's coaching, ask yourself how you relate to the following questions in terms of your own relationship with your family. Do you ever feel a disconnect between your own self-image and the one that your family sees? Do you expect your family to be more authentic with you, only to find that your family relationships seem to be the least authentic ones in your life? Do you want to recapture the genuine curiosity that lies at the heart of all great relationships? And lastly, do you want to learn some possible practices that can help each of you have a better holiday season with your family? Well, we're so happy that so many of you have joined us. It seems that this theme of going home for the holidays has really struck a chord in all of us. And as many of you may already know, the client for Home for the Holidays is Wee Lam. Wee is one of the developers of Integral Life Practice and is also a very popular certified integral coach. Welcome, Wee.
Thank you, David. It's great to be here.
Well, the first thing I want to say is that we want to say to you is to thank you for agreeing to personally share your vision of this topic that is so close to home for all of us. You know, it's one thing in private to do this with a coach. It's completely something else to do in front of a crowd of so many people. And I'm looking at you, and you're a very brave man. So thanks.
Welcome.
And I want to ask our listeners to be respectful of all that you will hear from Wee during these next weeks. It's important that you hold this and all of the information that he's about to share, because this is a very real topic for him, and let's keep that in mind as we move forward. So Wee's coach is Susan Hodges. She has a background in marriage and family counseling and is a certified integral coach, and she's on our team of integral coaches here at Integral Life, and then jumped at the chance to be of service to Wee and to all of us. Welcome, Susan. How does
it
feel to be coaching in front of an audience, Susan? This is a little bit different than just doing private sessions with people, I would imagine.
Actually, it's a familiar experience to me, and it's one that I've come to appreciate because I've learned that it's a wonderful learning opportunity for everyone involved. So thank you for giving me a warm welcome, and I extend it to the audience as well.
Well, I've had a chance to listen to the sessions that you and we actually did last month and into this month, which we're going to be hearing pre-recorded clips of. And I can say to everyone out there in the audience, this is going to be a fascinating night to get started on this exploration. So let's get started. So rather than just telling you and the audience how this powerful transformational coaching process works or merely providing a list of practices or insights, we decided to try an experiment with this first teleseminar where we're going to walk you through Wee's real-life story and the topic that we believe many of us will be able to relate to. And in some important ways, we're going to ask you to develop your own relational capacities alongside Wee as we go. We hope you'll relate not only to the universal themes of his story, but how you hold your own self-image, your own family expectations, that authentic curiosity in your relationships, and much more, but also come away with your own insights to apply in your life. Integral coaching is designed to catalyze real transformation. So through the five shows, we will walk through a process that actually uncovers new possibilities and new insights and new ways of being for Hui as he proceeds through the topic. So Susan, let me start with you. Tonight, we're going to present what we call the coaching intake session, where you listen carefully and deeply to the topic that is being brought forward by Hui. You'll also ask him some questions that hopefully will enable him to start getting to know his topic in new ways. So can you talk about how you would like the audience to sort of hold what we're about to present.
Sure. So I invite each of you in the audience to join us in this intake conversation as if you were participating in a practice, deeply listening and noticing to what's arising in you. So my role today is to help you see through Hui's eyes, how he uniquely holds himself and his loved ones. So we know that it's natural to want to be of service to Hui as he's preparing to go home for the holidays. But if you notice an eagerness to offer advice, perhaps something's been helpful for you, or if your own judgments start kicking in, just see if you can allow yourself to listen deeply, letting Hui's topic and family scene affect you. Let it impress upon your mind and your heart and your body, as challenging as that might be in moments. So our capacity for stillness is foundational for listening to others with genuine empathy and curiosity, as it is for tuning into our own reactions to what we're hearing. The profound developmental shifts start with stillness, and deep listening is the bedrock of a successful family visit. So as you become aware of Hui's present way of relating to his family, know that you're already building some of the most important muscles needed to truly see your own family members anew. So let's start with Hui's world and go from there.
Well, thanks for that, Susan. That really helps, I think, get us just in the proper frame of mind. And if at any time over the course of this teleseminar you folks in the audience want to learn more about the integral coaching process, or if you want more information on the show times and topics, visit Integral Life's website homepage at www.integrallife.com and click on the Home for the Holidays medallion. You'll see it there with a little snow globe. It will and it'll take you to all the links and the info you need to know. So that's where all that will be. So let's jump into your story. You know, I find that the dilemma that we're unpacking tonight, this one of yours, is a classic to all of us that actually engage in personal development work. And as we find at times, it's all well and good to get something cognitively, but then those emotions sneak in and submarine all of our best intentions. And, of course, as our friend Ken Wilber reminds us on this subject, if you think you're enlightened, just go home for the holidays. And, you know, we can appreciate the humor in that deeply, but we also feel our frustrations concerning our relationships with our families as well. So, why did you decide to become the client on this one?
Well, David, as you know, when we initially spoke about this project, I was offered to be the coach for this project. And when I reflected upon it overnight, what I came to realize, somewhat surprisingly for myself, was that this is actually a very real topic for me in my own life. And even though I had been through so much development and I had the honor of working with Integral Life and also being trained as an integral coach, what I realized is a lot of the capacity I developed to deepen my relationships didn't necessarily translate to my family. And even though I had gone through so much growth and change, when I go home, I still fall back into so many of the same dynamics as has always been there. And so I felt like this was a great opportunity for me right now to learn how to go back home this holiday season and show up in a whole new way, and also with some anxiousness and also excitement, feeling that my story perhaps could be something that our community can relate to and also give them some insight and perhaps excitement for themselves and as they think about, you know, how they can go and show up with their families.
Right. Well, thanks for that. So, Susan, let's set the context for the intake session that we're exploring tonight. As a coach, what are your expectations or instructions to the client before they show up, and what will actually happen during the intake?
Mm-hmm. Now, I ask my clients to bring forward one of their most pressing challenges that they're committed to addressing. So it might be an issue that's been around for them for a long time. Maybe it's one that's newly emerging. So in Hui's case, it feels like it's been around for some time. They may not even be very clear what the issue is, which is also totally fine. And the intake allows us to really get to know the issue, its impact, and how the clients have been wrestling with it up until now. So together, we also discern what it would look like if things were going really well for them. So in other words, however they define accomplishing this particular topic or concern and why it's so meaningful for them in this particular moment.
Okay. So let's listen to how you actually communicated your topic to Susan during the intake session. And I want to remind the audience that each time we listen to a pre-recorded audio clip tonight, and there'll be a number of them, these were actual moments from the intake session that we and Susan completed last month. So let's listen to the first one where we actually describe this topic to Susan.
Well, Hui, it is great to be your coach, and I'm actually quite excited about this opportunity to serve you in this way, and I know that the holidays are important for many, many families, and I know that your family is extended across countries even, and I'm intrigued by what you're wanting to step into. So what is of concern for you right now?
This year, you know, with the holidays coming up and just thinking about how I'll be bringing, you know, my family, my wife and two kids home to be staying over at my parents' house. When I've been going out there and spending time with them, what I've noticed is that the contrast between how I'm able to show up with people that are in my life as my friends or colleagues, and particularly people that I work with through the Integral community, I noticed like a huge contrast between how I'm showing up in terms of how much I'm able to offer myself, the level of intimacy, depth of the conversation, the contrast of how much that's possible with, you know, my newer friends and my peers and colleagues, and how that's different when I go back with my family. And there's kind of a feeling that almost like, you know, that I haven't changed that much.
So, Susan, that's interesting. What did you hear in Hui's initial story at that point?
I hear Hui struggling, and I hear curiosity in him. So he's experiencing a distinctly different energetic experience when he's with his friends than when he's with his family. And he feels far more drawn out energetically when he's with his friends, an experience that he describes as a positive state. And he isn't sure why this is happening yet, so we're going to keep exploring that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. So you know, what happened next was very revealing for me. I mean, you tell a story about a conversation you had with your mother, and then you explore with Susan the annoyance you felt during that conversation, and you contrast it with the quality of the conversations that you have with friends and how they're different. And finally, you share a little bit about your relationship with your father. So for me, this was where I really felt the core of your topic unfold in very real life situations that I could certainly relate to. And we're going to play those in a minute. We're going to play those four in a minute. But I just want to say one other thing to the audience about these actual pre-recorded clips. We've obviously edited these out of a much larger and longer intake session, and we've compacted them for the sake of time for the show. So when you're in a normal coaching conversation, when they take place, it's a much more leisurely style than you're hearing in these clips tonight, with many more pauses between questions and answers as both we and Susan reflect on what is emerging between them. So with that in mind, let's listen to this next set of four interactions between we and Susan that you guys recorded last month.
One of the other things that kind of brought me to this topic was I had this conversation with my mother about a year ago, I think it was, and she was telling me about how she saw this show. I think it was like 2020 or one of those top shows. And she said that there was a story around this author, and he was a father, and I think he was, you know, like in his low 40s or something, and he passed away from cancer. And I think, you know, he knew he was going to pass away, so beforehand they, you know, did some video of him and interviewed him, and he had some two young kids, and he was sharing with me how, you know, she said, oh, he was so young, and yet he was also so wise. And she was, I don't remember the details right now, but she was sharing with me some of the way he saw life, you know, some of his kind of like philosophies about the realizations about life and about being a dad and, you know, appreciating the moment and stuff. And I remember when she shared those things with me, it felt like, yeah, oh, yeah, those are things I've known for quite a while now, you know, like, Uh-huh. Those insights are really kind of cutting edge for me, you know, like these are things that I, in some ways, maybe perhaps even take for granted, you know, that it's kind of already a part of my, the way I see the world. And I felt irritated, not exactly irritated, but it felt something, you know, like I don't know if I was a little bit annoyed or something. And then after I got off the phone with her, I kind of reflected upon it and, you know, why I was feeling that. And I realized it's because that my mom doesn't know who I am. And the next insight was, well, she doesn't know about these things about me, then it's because I haven't shared them with her.
Uh-huh.
And so then kind of made me question, well, why is that?
And why is that? Why do you think?
Yeah, why is that?
You don't know. In that conversation when you were becoming annoyed, what did you feel pulled to do in that moment when you were noticing some disconnect with her? Like, well, of course, Mom, I know these things, but what did you actually do?
I think I kind of just went along with it, you know, and just kind of like, maybe not fully engaged and kind of, you know, like I kind of probably just gave her a type of a, you know, like listening, but not 100% there.
Yeah. What does that allow you in the relationship to not be fully engaged?
I think there's something that almost like an impatience or something that comes up in me, and then doing that is my way of perhaps coping with some feeling of impatience that I might have. I think that also happens when, you know, like if I find that she's, you know, nitpicking about something, or she will share like a story about something that I'm just not interested in, you know, like, oh, I saw this on the news the other day, and she goes into this long story that I just have no interest, personal interest in.
Yeah.
Why do I want to know this? You know, what relevance does that have to me?
What is it about the interaction with, let's say, colleagues, your trusted friends? What is it about the quality of your experience with them that somehow pulls you out differently than it does with your parents?
I just find it easier to, you know, share things I might be thinking about or might be challenging for me. And it kind of feels like there's a, you know, the conversation feels like it's, lots of conversations can feel like they're journeys, you know, where it feels like it's emerging and they're interesting and, you know, like I'm learning. You know, about my friend or colleague, and about myself as the conversation develops.
Sounds like with the friends and colleagues, there's some kind of common understanding that this is what we do, or that these people can do this with me.
One of the ways that it happens for sure is that some of my friends kind of will ask questions that lead me to share more. You know, it kind of opens up the window where it seems like there's a genuine interest oftentimes.
And so what's it like with the family then? With your parents, how is it different?
Well, you know, like with my father, he doesn't communicate that much. You know, he doesn't really share his emotions that much, or almost at all. He's, you know, I have a military background and travels a lot, and he's a businessman, so he's kind of need to know basis of communication. And
what happened when you just laughed? What was that?
I'm not sure. Just thinking about, you know, how different my father's communication style is, and I've had the opportunity to work with him before too, and just, you know, just knowing that he can communicate like, you know, like a commanding officer really well, you know, like a general in the army.
How do you experience standing in a room or in his presence, and you're wanting to have a deeper connection with him, but he's interested in need to know?
So I guess it feels somewhat frustrating, you know, like somewhat frustrating in terms of like, even though I'm someone that is fairly well trained in communication and interpersonal relationships, you know, being a coach myself, and even when I have an intention of about going back to home for the holidays, and like, okay, I'm going to show up differently this time, and you know, when I get there, it's kind of just find myself doing the same thing I've always done, and I'm not even sure how it happens or how to change it when I'm there. I'm like, oh, okay. It just seems like food is too deep that I just kind of fall into it, and that there's not a lot of choices.
So, Susan, listening to those four clips, can you talk about what you were hearing in Hui at that point?
Absolutely. Yeah, the energetic contrast Hui feels really came alive for me when he described these particular interactions with his mom and dad. When he didn't feel met by them, he seemed to experience some sadness and then responded by disengaging energetically. But also, I was
really curious that Hui laughed when describing his father's style of need to know. So it felt important to explore how laughing like this might or might not relate to his withdrawing energetically in response to difficult emotions, and particularly within that's something that's arising within him and also perhaps arising in his mom or his father. So by asking him to describe his positive energetic connections with his friends, I wanted to explore how Hui determines when it's worth it to be fully present. So in essence, he helped me see how laughing in the face of disappointment and then pulling back energetically is a way to not feel the hurt and to stay connected to his family. And I also felt tuned into Hui's expectation that others draw him out energetically, but we still needed to explore his awareness of how others, particularly his family, might expect him to engage them and how meeting them in that space might actually challenge him. So at this point, Hui's underlying beliefs and behaviors seemed to indicate something like, if I assert myself, I risk upsetting my family and discovering they're really not interested in me. So it's better to pull back energetically and look to the bright side.
Interesting. Interesting. So we did anything emerge for you in this early going that was surprising?
Well, I'm not so sure surprising, but what was going on in the back of my mind as I was answering these questions that Susan was asking me was I definitely started noticing how much easier it was for me to talk about the interactions with my friends and colleagues, my peers, my wife, and how it was easy for me to describe the connection that I had with them. And when she asked me questions about my interactions with my parents, for instance, and some of the difficulty, I realized there it was a lot harder for me to talk about. And it really kind of highlighted that there is some difficulty that I have that I likely don't really even admit to, you know, that I actually don't acknowledge it, that there is a challenge there. And in many ways, on my day-to-day life, I just kind of accept it as, well, that's just the way it is. And so it started maybe some questionings kind of popping up, like, is it necessarily the way it is, or can it be some other way?
Yeah.
Not that I didn't have any answers yet, but it definitely some kind of question marks started popping up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, Susan, as you dig deeper, we hear Hui's story about what doesn't happen in the interactions with his family, and you ask him if he experiences this disconnect with friends as well. So let's listen to that pre-recorded clip, and I think it's interesting what he has to say.
You experience that with colleagues and friends too?
Yeah, occasionally, but I find that more often than not, if I am in that place, I can, and there's an intention for me to shift it, I can.
How would you do that?
Asking a question or, you know, offering something forth that I know would be, hey, I've been thinking about this, or, hey, you know, like sharing something about myself, sharing, you know, or asking a question about how they are, and typically leads something more engaging.
How difficult is it for you to do that, to mobilize those questions with your friends and colleagues?
Typically, if I'm in a pretty good energetic state, it's usually not hard at all.
So you're describing right there the energy that you can easily generate with friends, but not with family. At this point, did you sense why Susan wanted you to explore this more deeply?
What I was feeling at that point was that Susan really picked up on how I was contrasting and sharing about the kind of more ideal types of relationships I had and the level of intimacy that was created with my friends, and not so much with my parents and my siblings. And I wasn't exactly sure where Susan was leading because I was, you know, just in the middle of my process. And some of her questions really made me think. You know, I paused and it was like, it was kind of something I always took for granted. So when she asked me why or, you know, a level deeper, it really opened up some kind of new pathways in the way I saw things. And what I started to see was that perhaps there were certain assumptions that I had about what it means to relate more deeply, because that's what I have with some of my friends and colleagues, and kind of questioning, well, what does it mean for me to be placing some of those same assumptions on how I might expect my family to show up with me, and is that really, you know, kind of optimum? And so, once again, kind of opening up some new questions for me at that point.
Yeah. So, Susan, you keep pushing into this feeling of positive energy that Wee describes with his friends, and you ask Wee what else he does in his life when he's feeling that engaged feeling, and he responds with a fairly long list that includes his coaching work and participating in physical activities, I mean, volleyball, martial arts, playing with his kids, spending time with his wife, meditating, and so on. What is revealed is a very full, engaged life, living for all intensive purposes in an intentionally, integrally informed community. Then as he is described, he gets to his family gatherings and he experiences something else. And I thought where you went next was really key to getting to the heart of this matter. So let's play the next pre-recorded clip where you ask Wee if he ever tried to actually share his life and work in Boulder with his family. Let's listen.
I mean, you've described the norms of what actually happens and shows up, but what I'm getting at is that there's an assumption with where you are in Boulder that this is how we do things, that we're into personal development and going deep.
It certainly is that way with many of the people that I work with. And
yeah. In what ways have you communicated that interest to them? How would they know that you're interested in it or that you even enjoy your community?
Well, I think I made some attempts to share about what I'm interested in. Like recently, I wrote some blog posts for the Integral Life Coaching site, and so I sent that to my brother and sister and my mother.
How was that received?
I never heard back from my sister or my... Actually, I never heard back from any of them except I saw my brother, and he said he read it. He said, oh, he just made some comments about some of the comments that were made, but he didn't say anything about... Actually, that's interesting, because now that I think about it, he said that he read it, and then he said that he made some comments about some of the comments that came through, you know, about the blog, and then he didn't say anything about the blog itself, about what I was writing, and I think at one point I thought about, like, in my mind, like, oh, I wonder what he thought about it, what I wrote, but I didn't ask him for some reason.
So, Wee, what was coming up there for you in that moment?
Mm-hmm. Well, what was starting to come up for me then, and actually what's even coming up even more now as I listen to it again, is that there's a part of me that is reluctant to share some of what I'm doing and what I'm really interested in terms of the work that I'm doing, because I'm afraid that my family won't get it, and that in fact that they might not get me. And so it feels like a risk, and it seems like through the years I've gotten to a point where I'm not willing to take that risk.
Mm-hmm.
And in many ways, it's not even something that I'm aware that I'm doing, that I've decided not to take a risk of sharing or potentially exposing who I am for fear of not being seen or not being, you know, understood. So.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, that we, you know, with our family, the ones that we have known the longest and that supposedly love us the most, and we them. That risk issue is one I can certainly relate to in your story. I certainly did about, am I going to take the risk to actually show up here, and, you know, what happens if they're not interested? That's one I think that's pretty universal. Before we go on, I just wanted to remind the audience that you can email us questions as we're talking, and if we have time toward the end of the show, if you have some questions that you'd like to ask Wee or Susan, then just email them to us, and that link is on the show page, I believe. Yeah, okay. So that would be great. All right, Susan, let's continue. You then explore about how Wee feels about interacting with his own kids as opposed to his own childhood, and he says he feels he's much more engaged with his children than his parents were with him. Let's listen to his response when you ask him again what he actually wants from his family interactions.
When you're with your parents and with your siblings, you're saying you're wanting connection. There are many, many different ways of connecting. So I get that you want that energetic sense. You want to experience more affection and authenticity and intimacy. So maybe a little bit deeper, if you could help me understand, for example, what would you want to say or communicate to your mom? What would you want her to know about you? Because you can report facts about your work that are maybe a bit deeper, and you can communicate emotions.
I think I just would like to have be able to relate to my family in a way that feels meaningful and feels like I'm just kind of sharing what's up to me and I'm thinking about and them sharing what's going on in their lives. I get to offer my perspective and I don't know, like it's not any concrete thing. It's more of like a, the best way I can talk about it is contrast between, like when I have a really good conversation with a friend, it feels like I was talking with one of my good friends and he's sharing it, some challenges he's having with me. I'm taking it in, and I reflect back to him what he's telling me, and I can ask questions in a way that helps him, to move beyond his challenge. And in doing that, he's getting to get a sense of who I am, and my gifts that I have to offer, right? Mm-hmm. And then I can do the same thing, and I can say, okay, well, I relate to you in this way, and I also have this challenge, and, I've been thinking about this. And he can reflect back to me, and then we kind of weave something together and it kind of takes us into new territory and there's a sense of soaring together and
Okay.
So Susan, what did you make of Wee's answer at this point in the intake?
Yeah, well, for once again, he really helped me see how he's primarily attuning to his own energetic state and he's relying upon others to draw him out. And I think what may not come across in hearing the clips is that I'm also really attending to my relationship with him in the moment. And I'm hearing him describe that it's easier for him to come out when people are drawing him out. And so naturally, as a coach, I'm asking him questions and I'm drawing him out. And I'm also checking in with him. So I'm not only just listening for what his experience is like with his friends and his family, but I'm also looking at what's happening between us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Susan, you shift gears a little bit, and you ask Wee about any cultural assumptions that may be in play in his family around the sharing of emotions, and you ask about what is the usual style of family discourse and how do emotions get expressed, if at all. I thought this was really interesting. Let's listen to Wee's response.
Are there any cultural assumptions that are unique to your family that might be coming into play here too?
Sure. I mean, I think there's, certainly with my father and actually, even with me, I think one of the things that I think I learned when I went through my own coaching program to kind of deepen my intimacy with others is that I think with that Asian culture that there's certainly a tendency to be less emotionally expressive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially if it's challenging emotions, it's more like thinking about saving face, and you would, have more of a tendency to keep emotions kind of more beneath the surface. Mm-hmm. Not typically talk about emotions as much, it's more about kind of more tangible things.
How does the family typically emote? Are they happy all the time? You said there's a tendency to be less emotionally expressive, especially the negative ones. So what emotions are generally? Is it loose? Is it, there's a lot of joking and laughter going on? Is it more formal and serious?
No, I mean, I think it's more casual, pretty casual. It can be somewhat lighthearted. But oftentimes it kind of feels like, maybe there's not a lot to say sometimes, or... they're not as much about, kind of inner processes. It's more about, like I said, like it's more tangible things.
Sure. Who does most of the talking?
Good question. Sure. It depends on the circumstances, but my brother is pretty expressive, in terms of talkative. And my mom will occasionally, it will be if she gets on the roll about things. He's either one extreme or the other, he'll either have a lot to talk about and kind of just dominate conversation if he wants to tell a story,
mm-hmm.
or if he's not, if we're just talking about more chit-chatting about stuff, and he's like you see on the other extreme of not sharing much at all.
Mm-hmm.
He goes from one extreme to the other.
So I noticed that in that last answer, you didn't mention yourself when Susan asked you, you know, who does most of the talking during family gatherings. Was that intentional? I was just wondering as I listened to that.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that was intentional. I think that it was a really interesting question, as I mentioned to her when she asked me that, because when I reflected upon that and kind of visualized myself at the family dinner table and who does the talking, and I certainly get involved when there's things that I'm interested in or when there's, you know, kind of interesting, lively conversations. But in terms of initiating things, I was feeling more into that, and what I was noticing is that I maybe it's not so much me, you know, a lot of the times. And, you know, as Susan mentioned in our last question, I started noticing a little bit about this theme about, you know, what draws me out, you know, and perhaps that I'm more waiting for something to draw me out as opposed to being the one that initiates oftentimes. And so that was just an interesting theme that was starting to emerge for me as well.
So, Susan, you then ask we what would happen if he actually took the risk. So here's this concept of taking the risk again, of asking his family deeper questions. And something very interesting is revealed in the next three interchanges. So we're going to play three pre-recorded clips here sort of back-to-back. Let's listen.
What do you think would happen if you started asking your family deeper questions or showed up any different, just showed up differently, like engaged, communicative, something? How do you think they'd respond?
There has to have been moments, you know, I should, you know, like there have been times when I have connected with, you know, had a good conversation with my brother or my sister or my mom, occasionally, more rarely with my dad. You know, I think more often than not, it typically comes if one of them has a problem or a challenge and that they open up to me and I can connect and relate to them. And in many ways, I feel like, I mean, I think part of me feels like maybe they might not really understand some of the things that I might be contemplating or, you know, processing myself. You know, like I went out to visit a couple months ago and my mother was having a challenging time. She just shared some, you know, with me, and I felt like I was able to, you know, kind of really be very engaged and present for her, and it felt really good, you know, and I felt like I really supported her and felt close to her. Yeah, so there, you know, there are moments when it happens. It's just not the norm.
Does anybody ask anyone else in the family informed questions? So would your brother or sister ask your mom informed questions, or do they have those conversations with each other?
No, that's definitely not one of the norms we have in our family.
Okay, so
it's kind of more about circumstances. Oh, if you have a, you know, if I know you had a problem with something, or if, you know, they might say, you know, like, oh, I know you twisted your ankle, is that feeling better? Or, oh, yeah, I know you had that problem at work, did you fix it? Whatever, it's more around stuff like that, but not really, you know, something that stands out like that, but not really like, oh, I know you were interested in exploring this, you know, coaching. And, you know, yeah, even when I was in the coaching program and I would share with them, oh, I'm going up to Canada doing this coaching program, and it's really interesting. I had my first client that I didn't meet before, and, you know, I'd say something like that, and they would listen. And, but I think during most of the time, I don't really even, I think my mom maybe asked once or twice, but I didn't really get a sense that they were even interested in understanding, like, so what is this you're doing anyway? You know, why did you do this?
How do you feel when you're recalling these memories?
I guess there's some part of me that, I don't know, maybe feels a little disappointed, or maybe even a little bit sad that my, you know, my family doesn't have an interest in what I'm doing, or even interested in kind of knowing who I am in a way that kind of what they know of, or what they, you know, what they think of who I am.
How much of that awareness is with you when you go visit them, even with the intention that you're holding?
Not much.
How do you overcome feeling disappointed and sad?
I think I just probably have something to do with the laziness that I kind of just withdraw, you know?
I hate to put this out there, but let's just play devil's advocate. What if you show up spectacularly and you come out of the groove and they don't take the bait? They don't respond to the degree that you would have hoped. Is it still worth it?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, the way I live my life. It's always about more what I can do in terms of how I can show up fully and giving my gifts and offering what I can. I know that I can't control other people. You know, I'm sure a part of me would be disappointed, but if I have to answer the question, is it worth it? It's always worth it for me to show up as fully as I can, no matter what else happens.
What was the emotional experience or reaction that you had when I posed that question?
It actually felt like it grounded me, you know, asking that question. Because at first, I felt like an easy answer might be just to say, oh, I'd be disappointed or let down, and I felt like that was a piece of it, but the deep answer for me was the one I said in terms of feeling like it's always worth it for me to show up fully, whether or not it's responded to by others.
Okay, so you have that value that it's always worth it.
Susan, what were you feeling about Wee's answers in these last three clips at this point in the intake?
Many things, yeah. Yeah, it seems that as Hui tries to relate more authentically with his family, self-disclosing, drawing out his family members, and exploring their expectations seem like they're less apparent or even less viable options to him. So he's just beginning to discern that his family members may not share his values or expectations for relating, nor may they ever. I mean, he's also beginning to feel the developmental challenge at stake. So something like, what implicit values are driving him? Values that compete with his espoused ideal to show up and stay present no matter what. And what new values must he embrace? And what must he do differently? And what challenging and emotional and energetic experiences might he need to access in order to help his family get to know him through their ways of getting to know people and through their ways of being intimate with family members. So I think more importantly at this point, I really felt Hui's desire to not forget himself and not to forget his intention and his purpose for growing no matter what.
Right. Very interesting. Yeah, those three clips were quite something. When Susan asked you whether there was anything else you wanted to share with her in this initial intake, you brought up this theme of laziness or selfishness again. Susan, then you ask him how he wants to show up differently, and this is a repeating thing we keep coming around to, so let's listen to that interchange.
So would you like to show up differently on the day-to-day stuff? Is this part of how you would... Would you like to take on maybe more of that as a way of feeling more connected and engaged? Because this is getting back to how do you envision yourself actually showing up? Because we've talked about maybe asking questions.
I had to answer that question based on what I just said. And I would, one of the things is I would like to be more generous in terms of generous with my energy, generous with my emotions, you know, kind of more like willing to engage, you know, versus avoiding situations or avoiding responsibility. You know, and perhaps I think I certainly could do this a lot more, is kind of cultivating more of a genuine sense of curiosity, have more of a, like, hey, what's going on? You know, what's going on with you and your life, and what are you up to, and who are you, you know?
Mm-hmm. How much of that do you feel for them inside that may not be expressed?
I think I feel some of it, you know, but I think I also fall into the same pattern of, oh, I kind of just assume, oh, that's my sister, that's my brother, that's my mom's that way, my dad's that way, you know, that's the way they've always been.
So, Susan, as you continue at this point, you ask Wee about where he feels supported by others when he's showing up. And he mentions that he gets support from his coaching community, which we did hear about before. But then he mentions his wife. And you dig in a little deeper on this. And what is revealed is a very interesting tidbit of additional illumination. Let's listen to that.
Have you shared that your desire to work on this particular topic with her?
Yeah, you know, I told her that we were working on this.
Mm-hmm. What did she think about the topic?
She thought it was a great idea. And, we didn't talk about it for too long for some reason. It's likely because we were in between getting the kids ready to go to school or something like that. But I met her, probably driving in the car or something on the way to somewhere. But we just had a brief conversation about it, and she thought it was a good idea.
So is she going to be with your family over the holidays too?
Yeah.
So she's on board with the hope and the plan.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, and actually, you know, in some ways, is able to relate to my family in, you know, sometimes like in a more meaningful way. So, you know, like sometimes I hear her and my mom talk or something, and I'm like, wow, she's having a really good conversation. Like she seems more engaged and receptive and the dynamic. And even sometimes it's her, my brother, or my sister. It seems like they can have more full, engaging conversations than I might sometimes even.
We at the time did the Did this answer add anything to your understanding about the possibilities of interacting with your family differently?
Yeah, well, just thinking about how my wife is able to interact with my family in many ways in kind of fuller and more kind of lively conversations than perhaps I'm able to at times, that got me thinking because, you know, why is that? You know, because I've known them for all my life and she hasn't known them quite as long. And, of course, I'm very appreciative that she has that type of relationship with them. And at the same time, it made me question, well, why isn't it that I'm not able to? And then obviously if it's she's able to, then it's not them, right? And so maybe there's something about this that, you know, what is there for me to see in this? And I think as I mentioned earlier when in that clip when Susan asked how I would like to show up differently, one of the things that I noticed is that she does seem to have more of a openness and curiosity about my family and that there's less assumption she has, you know, when they say things about, oh, this is that because you're always like this. And so that got me thinking more about what would it take for me to be able to do that as well? And how can I move in that direction? And, you know, just because I've known these people my whole life doesn't mean I really know who they are. You know, I mean, that the emerging them, just like they don't know the emerging me, unless we are able to share that with each other. And so yeah, that was definitely a moment to remember as I shared that interaction, you know, about the interaction with my wife and my family.
Yeah, this was a classic one to me. I would imagine, I'm just going to imagine for a moment, if we were actually sitting in the room with 1,000 people that are listening tonight and we just asked for a show of hands, how many experienced some version of that? My guess is the tally would be fairly large. Mm-hmm. Where you're watching your significant other or your partner or whatever have interactions with your family and just like going, huh? How does that happen, right?
Yeah.
But there are clues there, as you said, to how you can do it differently. So I thought that was very revealing. So at this point, Susan, you say you think you have enough to reflect on concerning what you're going to offer we in the next session, which we will come back to a week from tonight. What is going on for you as a coach as you complete this intake conversation? And can you give the audience a clue what stage of the transformational process are we at this point?
Yeah. I feel as though I have a good sense of the implicit assumptions Hui holds about his family's, about how his family should and could relate, and how these beliefs lull him into what he's calling lazy disengagement. So for me, his frustration and his curiosity are palpable. At this stage in the coaching process, he's had some significant aha moments about his beliefs and characteristic ways of relating. However, insights alone won't help him access and change these assumptions, and nor will they help him change his actions and then ways of confirming their validity. So there's a nice little loop that kind of gets going, and he's not fully aware of that yet. So coaching for true integral development offers custom-designed practices that do two critical things. First, they involve clients in new actions. And in this case, it would be new things for Hui to try. And secondly, they involve reflection questions so that Hui is paying attention in particular ways. So bringing new awareness plus related practices will help Hui embody the capacities he really needs to start connecting to himself and to his family in the ways that he longs for. And we'll explore all of these issues in great detail in the next coaching conversation, so stay tuned.
Well, thanks for that, Susan. I want to just explore a little bit before we close out tonight with you, because what's coming up in the next session, because tonight we've really listened to this back and forth in this intake conversation. And there's always this question about integral coaching and is it the same as therapy and all the rest of that. And this tonight has been a conversation, questions and answers and so on. But next week, we actually are going to hear you come back with the metaphors that we talk about within integral coaching, which is, and we'll talk about that in a second, but as you, as a coach, as you complete these conversations, do the metaphors that you are going to offer him next week, I mean, do they come up suddenly? Do they come up over the week? Do you change them? I mean, what's the process that you go through as you reflect on everything that we has told you tonight and knowing that the, in this next week, you're actually going to come back to him with the offer?
Mm-hmm. Good question. I think it's different every time. Sometimes they arise immediately, and I'll have an emotional sense of them, or maybe I'll feel it in my body. But it's part of becoming an integral coach. It's an embodiment to really be able to hold how our clients see the world. So not only am I looking at him with particular integral lenses, but I'm also really putting myself as far as I can, as is humanly possible, in impressing myself into him and trying to look out at the world through his heart, through his body, and through his hopes and through his struggles. So sometimes I actually sit in meditation. Sometimes I'm walking, and it might take a week, and sometimes it just takes a few minutes. But either way, it's a fascinating process for me, and I've learned to just trust it to arise.
That really helps me understand sort of what's coming, and I hope the audience will as well, is that we're just getting started here, and next week is going to be this reflection process with both of you, and then this exploration of the metaphors in the offer. So there is one final question I want to ask you, before we close out the show for tonight, but before I do, I would ask all of you at home to reflect on what elements of Wee's dilemma concerning going home for the holidays that you share. Family dynamics, as we all understand, are complicated, and certainly there are many potential issues we all wrestle with concerning these families that we are deeply in love with. So as you reflect on this initial intake session, just consider these three things. Your own relationships with your family, especially around the differences that you may have in your own self-image and those that your family has of you. Second, if you look at your own expectations of your family members and how you may unfairly expect more of them than they actually can deliver. Certainly an interesting one to consider. And lastly, how you can invite more genuine curiosity into your relationships with the people that are families that we often take for granted, so for granted sometimes. And in the next two shows, you will experience the flexibility and power of the integral coaching as we hear we receive his metaphors from you, Susan, and the first one is going to represent the way he is now, and the second one is going to represent who he wants to become. And then in show three, which is going to be 2 weeks from tonight, we will then receive his personalized practices that hopefully will make his holiday season fantastic for him as he goes home for the holidays. And so to the audience, for those of you listening, don't forget to download the Integral Coaching Practice for this week. And you can also join the discussion thread that is going to start, I think, probably right after the show, and we'll continue through the week on the same page. And if you need to be reminded, you can get there by going to Integral Life homepage at www.integrallife.com and click on the Home for Holidays medallion. You'll find the practice on the show page with everything else, and we think you're going to find it really interesting. So, one last question I want to ask tonight. Based on what we heard in this initial intake session, were you feeling more hopeful at this point that anything with you or your family was going to change?
Well, actually, after the intake session, I realized that I actually decided I'm going to stay home for the holidays, as in my home.
Gee, how can I relate to that?
No, but my kids would be too disappointed, so... No, seriously, though, what came up for me was one of the biggest things, actually, is the fact that even going through this intake was realizing that even though this had been a topic for me, as Susan mentioned early on, for probably for a long time, that in many ways it wasn't one that I fully acknowledged, as in this is a challenge in my life. It was something like, oh, it'd be nice if it could be different, but the way it is okay, too. So it wasn't something that on a day-to-day basis I particularly thought a lot about. But actually going through the intake allowed me to recognize even more for myself how this is something that is an opportunity for my life to experience a lot more of who I am and who my family is, and to actually get to know each other in whole new ways. And before, as I mentioned, having the intention to do that and then not being able to meet that intention was frustrating. And even with everything that I've been able to experience and practice and all that, still didn't leave me with any answers. And so now, trusting in the inner work coaching methodology and my wonderful coach, Susan, I am actually quite hopeful that I will be able to go home this year and show up differently. And I'm looking forward to seeing my family and celebrating Christmas in a whole new way.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, Wee. I mean, this is, again, being done in this much a public way. Thank you for sharing the story, because I think we can all relate to many of the elements that you've shared tonight. And Susan, thanks so much for all the coaching and the clips and the commentaries that you added. I found it just fascinating to sort of get inside your head and sort of see it from the inside about how you're holding this story, and with you as a coach, and certainly for both of you now. We will go away for the week, and then we're going to come back to the second show, and you both will have reflected on this conversation, and Susan, you will at that point make an offer of these metaphors, and I can just tell everyone out in the audience that I've actually cheated a little bit and listened ahead, and it is fascinating what you guys have come up with. You really are going to see the power of integral coaching here. And during the week, for those of you in the audience, if you want to get on the boards and talk about, you know, what's going on here, or offer we advice, or, you know, we all have an opinion about something, feel free, and we actually may cover some of that in next week's show. So we thank you for joining us, and tune in next week, because you're going to hear what Susan decides to offer we and all of us. So I'm saying good night, and good night to we and Susan as well.
Good night, David and we, and good night, everyone.
Good night. Thank you.
I'll be home for Christmas. You can plan on me. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents on the tree. Christmas Eve will find me where the love light gleams.